All right, I see we're recording. I'm gonna call this meeting to order. This is the July 15, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as the Land Use Hearing Examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications or appeals that are authorized to come before me, which include appeals of stop work orders. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I'll consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that we already have on file in order to make my decision. This hearing process has certain rules, but I always try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a process that we're going to use. First of all, staff will make their presentation in this matter. Then the appellant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. Then the public will be given an opportunity to testify, and then I'll turn it back over to staff for any additional comments, and then finally the last word will come from the appellant. And then I will close the record. If you're going to testify, I'm going to have you identify yourself. If you're going to give evidence, I will swear you in as a witness, and ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the appeal that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. If you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, you may do so. I have the option to keep the record open in this hearing if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I do close the record. If you have any cell phones or stuff in the background that might make some noise, please take this time to make sure that it's not going to make noise so that the hearing is not disrupted once you become unmuted and are allowed to testify. Except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests to reopen the hearing and requests for reconsideration, my decision on this matter will be final and conclusive unless it is appealed. Appeals were by means of a land use petition action that have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal would be barred. I reviewed the item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the property or the proposal to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider this item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for this item, including file materials, that include the appeal documents, the noticing documents that have gone out, again, that staff report. There is a July 13, 2020 submission by the appellants in addition to their appeal with exhibits A through D. Other than receiving and reviewing those items, I've not had any communication regarding the item that's on today's agenda. So if you have an objection to me serving as a hearing examiner, you need to state so at this time. All right, hearing none, I'm going to turn to the item on today's agenda. As I indicated, this is an administrative appeal of a stop work order given application number or appeal number AA20-004. And again, this is an appeal of the stop work order that was issued on June 2nd, 2020 regarding property located within Chelan County. Owned by the appellants, the Bland Living Trust. For the record, at this time, I'm going to admit into the record the staff report, all of the appeal materials submitted by the applicant, all the noticing documents that have come through. I'm going to admit into the record the appellant's July 13, 2020 submission with exhibits A through D. And then I will also admit the entire planning staff file for this appeal into the record at this time by this reference. And I will turn this matter over to staff for their presentation. Could you please identify yourself, whoever's gonna make the presentation?
Thank you. Planner Emily Morgan, I'll introduce the application. So this is, the applicant was issued two building permits, one for the remodel of an existing single family residence and a second for an addition to the same existing single family residence. Upon the site visit for requested building inspection of the footings for the addition, it was observed that the entire former single family residence had been demolished and removed. No walls or any existing foundation were remaining. Being as there was no longer an SFR to remodel or permit, a new SFR, new nor a demolition permit for the existing structure. The building inspector then unapproved the pending footing inspection. Upon further investigation of Chelan County records and files, and after conferring with the applicants and their agent, it was determined the proper building and land use permits for current work had not been obtained. Any further work beyond the scope of the currently issued building permits would require different building permits to be issued, and those would have to be in compliance with planning related requirements for the removal and rebuild of a non-conforming structure. On June 2nd, the stop work order was mailed by the director for the activities. So at this time, staff recommends the hearing examiner evaluate the staff analysis, the finding of facts, and any submissions by the appellant determine whether the stop work order is sustained. Staff would also like to note that I have received two public comments that I will email the hearing examiner after the close of this hearing.
Can you identify who issued those or made those comments?
Yes. So the first one was received on July 13th via mail from Wayne Rehman of Rehman Family Orchards.
How do you spell that last name?
R-E-I-M-A-N.
All right. And the second one?
And the second one was also received via mail on July 13th from Randy and Evelyn Arnold.
All right. Public comments will also be admitted into the record at this time by this reference, not as exhibits, but as part of the file of record. Have those been provided yet to the appellants? Mr. Gatens, do you know?
I am not aware of them currently.
Okay. So Ms. Morgan, just make sure that Mr. Gatens gets copies of those comments. Is there anything further from staff at this time?
No, nothing further unless anything from you
too. No, I don't have any questions. I will turn this over to the appellants now. Mr. Gatens, can you identify yourself for the record and state who you represent, and then I'll just turn it over to you for your presentation.
Sure, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Kottkamp. Clay Gatens on behalf of the applicant appellant. I will be presenting argument on behalf of the applicant appellants today, but request that you swear me in as well in case any of my argument needs to be considered testimony.
You bet. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Gatens, what would you like to tell me?
Well, Mr. Examiner, as we laid out in our appeal brief submittal, the scope of the stop work order that was issued and then confirmed via both the notice of stop work order and the staff report is fairly narrow in scope, namely that it's premised upon the notion that the two subject permits were exceeded in scope from their remodel status due to the complete, and I think that that's a very important word, removal of the entire, and that's another word that's used, pre-existing non-conforming single family residence. And I think that's just an understandable mistake that the inspector made at the time. And as the record is now shown through photographs and diagrams from some of the applicant appellants, consultants, indeed portions of the existing single family residence foundation were retained and are also still present and also being incorporated into the new foundation for the single family residence. And so for that reason alone, the factual predicate for the stop work order was factually invalid, and the stop work order should be overturned based on that mistake of fact alone. Secondarily, should the examiner, reach issues of what is the scope of a remodel, because portions of the existing foundation do remain, the Blands or the applicant appellants still fall within the definition of a remodel under its plain and ordinary language and usage. And this is because the Chelan County Code appears to me to be an uncontested fact, and certainly from my review and the review of the materials in front of your Mr. Examiner, simply doesn't contain a definition of remodel. Now, the code does reference remodeling, but doesn't contain any specific definition. And that is, I think, a clear and unambiguous fact. And so given that, all we're really left with is what is the plain and ordinary language or meaning of the word remodel. And for that, the Washington case law really directs us to look at dictionary definitions, which we've provided as part of the materials. And they very clearly, number one, contemplate, you know, reuse or using existing elements or structures, which again is factually present here. But importantly, they do not, neither the definitions nor any of the code language contain any reference to retaining two existing exterior walls. It looks like from the staff report and some of the file materials that the county ad hoc has created a definition of remodel that simply doesn't exist in code and isn't supported by the plain language definition. Should the county want to revise their code to have a different definition of remodel, I think they're certainly free to do so, but not in this context. And so at any rate, because the applicants did retain and have retained and are incorporating existing foundation elements into the remodel, they are within the scope of the permits that were issued, and a plain language interpretation or statutory interpretation as required under Washington law applies to what the physical conditions of that property are, and in no way from the applicant appellate's position support an ad hoc definition of requiring two exterior walls. Lastly, on that point, I believe that the applicant's representative, Mr. Ryan Kelso, will also present some testimony today. It's also referenced within the staff report regarding conversations that he had and communications that he had with Chelan County staff at the time. I believe Dave Kuhl and Kirsten, who are no longer with the staff's employment or the county's employment, regarding the permits at issue and how they were approaching them, and getting the county's review and approval of those as consistent with the scope of a remodel. I offer that point for two reasons at this hearing. The first is to give some context to Mr. Kelso's forthcoming testimony. The second is to illustrate that, the current county definition that I believe that has been espoused by Ms. Walters of requiring the retention of two existing exterior walls doesn't appear to be consistent with the prior interpretations, understanding that the county can't find record of those. Notwithstanding that fact, I think just further speaks to the notion that the county code and the county's position on what constitutes a remodel must, at this stage, be extrapolated from a plain ordinary dictionary definition, which again does not contain a requirement of two existing exterior walls. And so those are the points that I have to make, and happy to answer any questions that you have.
Well, I'm going to ask the most obvious one, Mr. Gatens. I've looked at the application. Nowhere in the application does it say we're going to tear down everything down to the foundation and rebuild it. The application says that there is going to be an interior remodel and an addition. So how is what your clients did, how is that consistent with the application that they submitted to the county?
A fair question, and I thought you might ask about that. In the appeal letter, we submitted a PE or physical engineer's report to address that question, that once the demolition remodel began to occur, it became evident that the foundation and the structure were substandard as with regard to load bearing requirements for the foundation and life safety requirements for the single family residence. And so in order to simply meet the clear and existing code requirements with regard to loads and life safety requirements, that extent or scope of removal needed to occur, and I think is supported by both the code and common sense. And that material is of the record and attached to our submission materials. As far as the sequencing, I guess, for lack of a better term, of the two permits that are at issue, again, the applicant's representative, Mr. Kelso, was in constant communication with the county at the time. and getting their approval for that approach and process at the time that the permits were issued. I'll have to defer to his testimony on that because I was not involved directly in those conversations at that time. But I would answer your question if, frankly, pointing to the fact that once they got into the project, it became necessary to remove those elements to meet what is required by the code.
So would you agree that based simply upon the language of the application, that the demolition of the building is inconsistent with the plain language of the application of an interior remodel?
No, I don't think I would concede that. I'm partially because I, again, wasn't involved with the discussions or the purpose of the sequencing for the two permits, why it was done in that fashion. But again, I think it was, I understand that the county can't substantiate those conversations. And perhaps if we're unfortunately up on an appeal, there might be testimony from those former employees. But if we were to assume that those conversations did occur and Mr. Kelso will be sworn in under oath, then it would appear that the county at that time, and none of which are present to testify today and none of which the county staff that's here today was a party to or claims to be a party to, was in fact consistent with what was drawn, shown, and permitted and approved at the time. And so I think it's salient to note that if you accept as true that the applicant's representative, Mr. Kelso, was in consulting with the county and gaining the county's approval for both the sequencing and scoping of the two permits that were issued, then I just simply couldn't concede to you that what was actually done out there conflicts with the plain language of those permits.
And I'm going to kind of front-end load Mr. Kelso here, but I'm going to ask the question of you if you know the answer, and if not, Mr. Kelso may have some information. Do you know how much or how many square feet of that foundation are being repurposed into the proposed new building?
I don't know it off the top of my head, but if I would direct your attention to Exhibit B, as in boy, of the applicant's materials, there's a page on the bottom right-hand corner that's marked S-110 Foundation Plan. It has diagrams or schematics of the sort of existing and replaced foundation with details of exactly where the pre-existing foundation elements are currently located and where they're tying into the new foundation. And so I couldn't tell you, and maybe Mr. Kelso could, the exact amount of square footage, but it appears to be quantifiable and knowable and shown on that exhibit.
So let me just ask, sometimes it's easier to get to a point by asking the absurd sometime. If they were just repurposing one square foot block of old foundation, and we're going to tie that into this new residence, is it your opinion that the law supports that just using a one square foot of an old foundation can substantiate a remodel for a non-conforming structure?
It is, Your Honor, Mr. Kottkamp, because absent a lack of a code definition that in a lot of municipalities that would say 25% of the existing structure or tie it to an objective metric like a objective value or something to that extent, then again, we really are just left with a plain language definition of remodel. And so to the extent that you are incorporating the new version into a portion of the old version, I think that's allowed by a plain language definition, particularly when one of the elements is literally foundational. Now, I can appreciate the point that you're making, which is, you know, where is the line or how is that drawn? I think that there would probably be an opportunity for the code to be revised to create better and clear objective metrics on that point moving forward. And I think that'd be a good idea, but it simply doesn't exist in the code. So under a plain language definition of remodel, yes, I do think retaining minimal foundational elements and incorporating them into the remodel satisfies a plain language definition.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Gatens?
Nothing further, thank you.
Did you want to call any witnesses, you said?
Yes, I'd like to, I'd like to call Mr. Ryan Kelso as a witness on behalf of the applicant appellant.
All right, Mr. Kelso, can you identify yourself by name and address?
Ryan Kelso, 1701 Danny Boy Lane, Wenatchee, Washington.
All right, Mr. Kelso, would you raise your right hand for me? Oops. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. And Mr. Kelso, are you here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the appellants?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Gatens, did you want to ask him questions or do you just want to let him proceed on his own?
It's fine. I can go ahead and ask him some questions.
You don't have to. I'm not telling you to. I just wanted to make sure I gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, Mr. Kelso, could you provide some testimony with regards to the history of your interactions with Chelan County staff leading up to and during the timing of the permitting for this project and most specifically sort of the sequencing and purpose of the approach to the project?
So my dealings started about 2 years ago with Chelan County, dealing with starting at the planning level, and Kirsten was my point of contact at that point. And in dealing with her, we knew that there was issues of the building that is non-conforming in current use that stood there. And we knew that going forward, we wanted to obtain and try and keep the building in a similar location to where it currently stepped it placed, but be able to move forward with the ability to incorporate what the Blands were needing to do so that they could inhabit and live in that current location of the original farmhouse location for the property. And in doing so, we went through a process of breaking the structure of what we were going to do into two phases. And all of this was discussed with Kirsten and sequentially Dave Kuhl, the director as well, of what we were doing in the sequencing so that when the Blands reach the point where they're at right now, that there would not be holdups or the ability to not move forward. So we went through and we obtained a permit for the portion of the building that the county was viewing was in the non-conforming space under a remodel permit, in which we submitted reworking the areas within that area that was viewed as the non-conforming space, which is areas that were within the, I'll call it setback areas that were below what traditional setback areas would be from the road. And there was a document that I believe the county had, one that they had found in Kirsten's desk after she had left, that showed some of that communication that was going on at that time. And then second was on the building permit itself. It also showed similar numbers showing the distance of what we were doing and where we were placing this area of remodel work that we were doing. We did know as well going into it that likely we would run into subpar foundation issues and stuff, being you could tell that the building was built on cobble or rock, had some cinder block areas in a few spots, but a lot of it was cobblestone and rock.
So I'm sorry, I need to interrupt this. I think that was, I don't want to misunderstand what you said. So prior to putting in your application for the remodel, you had an understanding that the foundations may not be adequate to support the load of the building?
That is correct. The drawings which we submitted have new foundation drawings that were in place with details should, they get to that point and need, as they're tearing it open, that they would possibly and likely need to address the foundation. So the plans that we did submit show new foundation and new joy systems in those areas for both the remodel permit and for the addition permit. In both aspects, we show them that those areas likely will be touched and replaced.
Okay, all right, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, go ahead.
That's fine. So then we decided that we would go through with doing the first phase of the first permit. We put in for application. It went through, it was permitted. After which it was permitted, then we filed, which is important that we did one before doing the other so that the sequencing has separation. So we had a remodel permit for that first area that was in the non-conforming space. And then we went forward with a second permit that we filed for the addition, which kept the two permits separated by spatial time, at which the Blands in that time had started removing some materials and stuff from the structure. So some activity had begun during that time. And then subsequently, the second permit was then issued at a much later date, after which things set due to winter, and then was picked up later in the spring where the Blands continued forward. Any knowledge of needing of demo permits or such things were just, you know, as a general public, the applicants or the Blands were not aware that they would need anything beyond what we had provided and submitted in the plans themselves that were issued.
Mr. Kelso, on your experience in this area of work, is it generally accepted that if you're going to demolish a building, you need to get a demolition permit?
Well, it was unknown, one, how extensive it would be once they opened it up.
No, I'm sorry that I misphrased my question. Looking at the demolition that was done on this property, in your experience, would you normally have to get a demolition permit in order to do that work?
Not in a remodel nor in an addition format. No, you would not need a demo permit. But that was one of the elements that the county has brought up that they did not obtain.
All right.
And then, so I guess in the time period is between when they had, the last permit was issued, the employees that I was dealing with at the county were in place at that point in time. And then subsequently later when the Blands decided to move forward later this spring on the project after weather had cleared up, that's when the previous employees were now displaced or gone from the county. And so we've got new individuals that are in there that were not part of those original conversations and discussions that occurred, which they do have some documentation showing something was happening.
And then, Ryan, let me ask this. Mr. Examiner, do you have any further questions that you want to ask as it relates to sort of that sequencing and the purpose of the sequencing and scope of the permitting at that time with the county?
No, I don't have any questions.
Mr. Kelso, and were the consistent with the conversations that you are giving sworn testimony today that you had with the county, were the two permits at issue, in your opinion and pursuant to your testimony, were they consistent with the permits that were issued by the county for this matter?
Yes, they were.
And then as I know you've reviewed the application materials, but as far as the actual location of the currently existing foundation forms, because no new foundation has been poured yet due to the stop work order, is the location of the remodel project consistent with and located as shown on all of the permit application materials?
It is.
And meaning that, just to beat a dead horse, the current location of the footings and those sorts of things are where the building sits on the site is hasn't been altered or changed at all from what the county permitted?
No, it's in the same location, and yeah, it's in the same location as shown.
Okay. I don't know that I have any further questions on the issue, but again, if Mr. Examiner does.
I don't. Mr. Kelso, is there anything else you would have liked to said that maybe you weren't asked?
No. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Gatens, anything else from the appellant?
Yeah, just a closing summary and a little bit to follow up on Mr. Kelso's testimony. Mr. Examiner had asked the question about whether, with regard to the existing foundation, whether it was known at the time of the application and the communications with the county, whether the foundation, the existing foundation, what type of condition it was in. I think it was, the testimony shows that it was known that it was most likely to be substandard in whole or in part. But I think that, and what I'd like to call your attention to is again, that because the permits showed and always have shown new foundation going in, that what's going on out there is consistent with that. And I think that that's important, frankly, not from a definitional issue or lack of definitional issue with remodel, but I think that that probably, because those permits were issued with new foundations, there's probably a NICRM doctrine that applies to that at this point. And what's going on out there is consistent with what, from our perspective, the county was communicating with us with at the time, but also consistent with the permits that were issued. And so that NICRM doctrine of the permits, coupled with the fact that there is and has been a retention of existing foundation elements out there, really does support the applicant's position that they're within the scope of the stop, or excuse me, they're within the scope of the permits. They're within the scope of a plain language definition of remodel. And the factual predicate for the issuance of the stop work order, which is expressly based on a complete removal of all elements, is factually incorrect. And for all those reasons, the stop work order should be overturned. Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn this matter over to the public now. Did any member of the public wish to offer any testimony on this? Okay, I don't see anybody unmuting themselves that are here. Is there anything further from staff on this?
Yes, we do have further information.
Mr. Kockamp, I'm Jim Brown. I'm the Director of Community Development, and myself and our building official would like to offer testimony in response to the earlier testimony on some specific points, if we may. And I'm prepared to be sworn in as the first witness.
All right, thank you very much. Would you raise your right hand for me? Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Brown, what would you like to tell me?
My point is a single point of clarification on Mr. Kelso's testimony found in the department's staff report, page 3 of 4, 5.5, references a document, the only document that we were able to find that inferred that there'd been some sort of communication with Mr. Kelso regarding this project was also attached to that staff report, our Exhibit B. And that Exhibit B is a reduced size document of a site plan that was found pre-project, didn't have the project elements on it, that was found in Ms. Larson's desk with no notes, regarding that, and we did a diligent search of all paper records within the application and permitting files, as well as an email search using numerous search terms for both Mr. Cool and for Ms. Larson, and could find no reference to conversation with Mr. Kelso. Asked Mr. Kelso for those, and he was not able to provide any to me either. So the only written record that tends to indicate there was some communication going on is reflected in Exhibit B in the staff report. And I have no clarity around what the context of that was. I can only say that it existed. And that's the end of my testimony.
All right, thank you very much. And you indicated there was some other testimony.
David Spencer here, billing official, sir.
How do you spell your last name?
S-P-E-N-C-E-R.
I'm sorry, just a second. I'm in a hearing. Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay. Sorry about that. I was interrupted. Mr. Spencer, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. And you indicated you're the building official for Chelan County?
That is correct, sir.
And what would you like to tell me?
I'd like to discuss 4 points. In one would be the definition, I guess, that was submitted on of the appellants, which was the word that was used in item 3 of the staff analysis when the inspector showed up and saw that the structure had been completely demolished and removed. The definition provided by the applicants of completely is having all necessary parts, elements, and steps. So that it would need those things of the definition, necessary parts, elements, and steps, which is followed by my second point in that, in my observation of the pictures submitted, the rocks and or pieces of concrete are outside of the foundation elements that are necessary to support a structure and have no significant bearing on the requirement of the structure to be there. They are not with inside the foundation. If they were found with inside the foundation, they would be required to be removed as they could cause compromise to a structure. My third point, sir, would be that we received the letter here from the engineer of record in this record of July 8th, saying that the structure was in a point of disrepair that required the removal. But that letter, this is the first time the building department has seen or reviewed that letter. And I can say that from the plans that we have received that do show existing and addition, which are very specifically laid out on the foundation plan, that same engineer designed that foundation, and there was no mention of that in any of the record that was submitted. So I guess that is a discrepancy from the current plans that we have for the remodel and the addition versus this letter that we have submitted after the inspection. My final point would be a demolition permit is typically not issued for a remodel. There are instances that it is a requirement of every applicant to do the lead-based paint program and things of that nature under state law. That is their requirement to comply with those. And a demo would not typically be issued for a new single-family residential home unless the structure was removed prior to approval of the new single-family home that would be put in that place. Those are my 4 points. Thank you, sir.
Staff would just like to make one point that in addition to the comments that I'll send over after the hearing, we will provide the set of building plans that we do have so that way you can reference them as well.
All right, thank you very much. Anything further from staff?
Nothing further, thank you.
All right, as promised, Mr. Gatens, I said I would return to you for the last word. What would you like to say or present?
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. I'll focus on some brief sir rebuttal comments to the recent round of comments from the county. I think for purposes of the hearing today, that one salient point is that the county Mr. Brown just testified correctly, I believe, that the county really, in the record and as it stands before you today, it has no direct knowledge of the of its communications with and consultations with the permit consultant, Mr. Kelso, on behalf of the applicant appellee. And for the record, I think that's important because what you have before you and all that you have before you is the sworn testimony of Mr. Kelso with firsthand knowledge regarding those communications. And his testimony today states that those communications, A, occurred, and B, were consistent with the scope and sequencing of the permits that were issued. Secondary.
So Mr. Gatens, I want to get this as well. So you would agree that Mr. Kelso has nothing in writing in the set form of emails or letters or his own notes that would substantiate his testimony today?
I'm not aware of any, and I'm not aware of any in the record.
All right.
Other than his sworn testimony. Secondly, with regard to this issue of this, the scope of the permits and the plans that were submitted with them, certainly you can review those, and they are what they are. But I do call to your attention sort of the practical, I suppose, chicken and egg issue that if the county's position is that retaining the existing foundation would have, or some greater portion of, or some undefined portion of the existing structure would have been required to meet the undefined definition of remodel, but at the same time is telling you that those elements wouldn't have met code, it seems that you're in an inequitable bind there. But what is shown and what is of factual record is that the foundation, existing foundation elements are A, located within and upon the existing foundation and are being structurally tied into them, the new foundation with, I believe, number 4 rebar that does meet code. And so from the applicant's perspective, the retention of those foundation elements, A, constitutes or meets the definition of remodel, and B, are structurally incorporated into the new foundation, which was shown on the plans in such a way as they can meet building code requirements. However, the building code requirements are not at issue with these permits, and nor are they the subject of the stated purpose of the stop work order, and I direct your attention to that matter. With regard to the comments made about the demolition permit, I think the testimony is that typically, and in most cases, a demolition permit is not required with a remodel. The permits that were issued were remodel permits. And I think that the fact that a demolition permit wasn't applied for or issued is demonstrative of two things. Number one, it has nothing to do with whether or not the scope of the stop work order is factually correct or legally substantiated. And number two, it's demonstrative of the fact that the intent of the applicant and the applicant's consultants was never to try to pull a fast one or do anything outside the scope of the permits. It was consistent with what they thought and what they have testified the county led them to believe and issued the permits for. And so lastly, in conclusion, again, we would ask the stop work order be reversed, and that whatever confusion may have occurred due to the applicant's efforts or attempts to apply for and obtain the proper permits, but what appears to be staff turnover at the county level and some level and lack of knowledge of what was discussed, that decision and that those circumstances not be borne solely on the shoulders of the applicant. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Nothing further from the appellant then?
Nothing further.
All right, then I'm going to keep the record open until 5 p.m. today for the county to submit drawings that they wanted to submit that weren't part of the record, apparently. And Mr. Gatens, if you feel there's a need to keep the record open following that point, then you'll just need to submit a written request and the reason why, and then we can I can address that if we need to keep it open past 5 o'clock today.
Understood. Okay?
All right. So then I'll have a written decision made within, assuming there's no further keeping the record open requests, I'll have a written decision made within 10 working days. I appreciate everybody coming and appearing at this hearing. Very interesting question, and I will take my time in making sure that I make a decision that I think is factually and legally correct. So with that, I'm now going to adjourn this July 15, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner, and I thank you all for coming. This meeting's adjourned.
Yeah.